that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Like double dog dare ya!
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters. Greetings and salutations. This is the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. My name's Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. And joining me, as always, is...
I see how it is. Mutiny. This is Chris in Dallas.
This is Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
Beer Coaster so, hey. Toby says, "This is my show, bitches."
Yes, that's in the title of our show notes. This is my show, bitches.
So this week we are talking and drinking winter seasonals. So quickly we arrived in the winter season, which is nice because winter seasonals are tasty.
It's fitting too. Mike, didn't you get your first snow of the season this year?
Yes. Yeah.
Or
first
today?
Snow last night, or accumulated a little bit this morning.
We had a tiny little bit last week.
Windshield scraping this morning.
Nice.
So winter seasonals, what you should expect, or winter warmers, they like to call them. Sometimes they'll be a little more alcohol, hence the warmer. They might be a little maltier, a little sweeter. A lot of brewing companies will like to throw in extra spices. And I think that kind of goes back to when you think about when we did the fall seasonals, how it's not necessarily a style, but it's more of... a feeling, you know, a reminiscing, you know, you get the, some beers will have spruce tips in them, or very piney characters, or some sort of spices that make you think of wintertime, you know.
Very similar to like mulled wine and stuff on the holidays, like that's very, like lots of beer, they try to use lots of spices and stuff in the winter.
Mike, are you comparing beer to wine?
And Mike, you sound
I just
funny.
Did.
Yeah, Mike.
It's my nose, and I should apologize to the listeners ahead of time. My nose is completely stuffed up. I can't
Your
breathe
Coasters
out of
Mike
it.
Mike nose apologizes.
Yes, my nose apologizes. So as far as my tastings and so forth, it's going to be pretty dry and not very informative, but hopefully I'll be able to give you full reviews next week. But I'm still going to be drinking beer.
It's going to be dry, or it's going to be a little kind of sticky and moist? Sorry.
Yeah.
So
moving on.
The winter warmer that we're all trying today is Sierra Nevada's Celebration.
Woohoo!
Is that your celebration, Chris?
That was my celebration. We're right. Trying the celebration.
Sweet.
There's much to celebrate.
So after we try the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale, we're jumping into some Hop Topics. And then on our tasting flight after our Hop Topics, Chris, what are you trying today?
This week I am trying Great Divide Brewing's Hibernation Ale. What I will be doing as soon as we finish with this show.
What some of our listeners are doing right now.
Right now.
Mike, what will you be trying to taste today?
I am going to try something that I mentioned in Hop Topics. Not quite sure what episode, but this is Magic Hat's Howl. This is their winter lager.
And I will be trying Lost Coast Brewing Company's Winter Brawn. After that, we'll hit you with our tweet of the week, slide into some backwash, and then jump into last call. So if you guys don't have anything else,
so wrong. Sliding into backwash. This does not sound at all appropriate.
You know you
or
love
advertising.
So Chris,
let's
you
drink some beer.
You actually stopped by somewhere. Did you want to save that for after our?
I can talk about it briefly here. No, I went a new beer bar opened up recently near me called the Ginger Man. It's kind of a chain here, and then I think they also have some in New York.
Oh, cool.
But it was cool because I went there. They've only been open about a week. There was nobody in there, but then again, I was there on a Saturday afternoon. But what was cool was they had on the cask my tasting flight from last week, which was the Real Ale Coffee Porter.
Yeah.
So it was cool to be able to try that, you know, after having had it on the show. And I liked it a lot on the show. I liked it even more on the cask because it had a much, obviously, more creamy, you know, full mouthfeel.
Right.
Being off the cask. I missed the coffee beers already.
Creamy. Just imagine a creamy coffee porter.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yep, and I got to talk with the guy that works there a little bit, and he was pretty cool. So. Yep.
Nice. Ginger Man.
Ginger Man. Very cool. Great atmosphere.
I think I read about that in Beer Magazine. They did a spotlight, way back earlier this year, I think, on drinking in Dallas, and I think they mentioned the Ginger Man in there.
Yep.
All right, well, hey, guys, let's crack open our... Sierra Nevada celebration. What do you say?
Woo-hoo! Hello, I'm Geddy Lee. And if you're like me, winter means one thing: tobogganing.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, since the fermentation conversation.
Yes, indeedy. So this is Sierra Nevada Brewing Company's...
Come on!
Exactly. Sierra Nevada's Celebration Ale. It's their winter seasonal. That's Sierra Nevada Brewing Company out of Chico, California. They've been brewing since 1980. You can find them on the web at www.sierranevada.com. Style is an American IPA with an ABV of 6.8% with 65 IBUs, which in my opinion, that is right in the ballpark of some good IBUs.
Yep.
Around 60 IBUs to me is a good, that's just me though.
Yep.
You can find these in 6-packs with the 12-ounce bottles. You can also find them now in 24-ounce bottles.
That's what I have
today.
Which
is very nice.
As evidenced by what Mike is holding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the 24.
You can also find this on draft at select craft beer locations. Check one near you. I don't know. an interesting note about this beer. It has won some awards. Real quick, it got the gold at the United States Beer Tasting Championship in 1994. They got first place at the Chicago Beer Society 1996 Fall Beer Tasting, and they also won 2 silver medals at the California State Fair and 1 at the Great American Beer Festival in 2002. The ingredients it uses is top fermenting ale yeast. It also uses the Chinook hops, and it's dry hopped with Cascade and Centennial. Now, this is something that's new to me. I did not know that this was a dry hopped beer. Rate Beer gave this a 97 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it an A-, and the Ulster Brothers gave it an A. Crack 'em.
All right. Oh, yeah.
2 minutes.
Get to the good stuff. Let's see if Mike can pour this week.
Hopefully you can pour better than me, because I got a heck of a head.
Mine's bubbling up big, too.
Yeah.
Nice, rich, golden color.
Yeah.
Yep. I've got about three fingers.
It's a little cloudy.
Nice off-white foamy head.
Yeah.
A bit of creaminess
to the head.
Got
some particles in there.
A little bit.
Tell you again and again, Toby, you have to clean your glasses.
I think that's breadcrumbs. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel sorry for Mike because the aroma on this beer is just outstanding.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That nice,
I'm not getting anything.
Piney, citrusy hop.
Yeah.
Really upset about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's got to be the Cascade and the Chinook coming out.
Yeah.
Very clean smelling, too. It's very...
Absolutely.
Like, fresh, clean. There's a little bit of a of sweet malt character in there.
I'm going to take a sip since I can't smell this thing at all.
Kind of grassy, too.
Yeah, grassy.
Like a sweet kind grass.
And like a grapefruit.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that, yeah.
Oh, it's so...
That smells good.
Different.
Trying interesting something. You say malty, because that's one of the nice things about this beer is that it is, you know, it's obviously hoppy, because it's...
Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada, and that just goes without saying. But there is a nice malt character to it as well.
Yeah, I'm getting some bitterness. That's about it, unfortunately.
It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's kind of got that kind of bitter, coats your tongue, real kind of astringent bitter.
Bitter bitterness.
Yeah. I'm a sweet bitter. Like it's that grassiness. It's like a grassy bitterness. Kind of like you guys ever eat that sour grass? The sour flowers?
No.
No.
Just, you know, they grow wild in your backyard. You ever pick those and eat those?
No. Mm-mm.
They have a little yellow...
When I was growing up, we had
petals.
Actual food. We didn't have to pick it out of the backyard.
They'd get sent out in the backyard to eat flowers. You hungry?
No,
go to the backyard.
They're just like,
Mommy, I'm hungry. Just go back. There's sour flowers in the backyard.
It's not that sour, because those are really sour. The sour flowers are really sour. This is like kind of that sweet, kind of sour grassiness.
It's the Chinook hops. That's the bittering hops, right? In this beer?
Yeah.
Yep. You know?
Wow.
I can,
yeah, that's really tasty.
Faint. Like, I'm really, really trying hard to smell here. It's very faint, but I am getting a little bit of...
It's just, I think it's a little bit of nice citrus. Yeah, well, it's hard not, I mean, even with, you know,
with completely
not any scent whatsoever,
sinuses.
It's hard not to get that, but yeah, lots of sweet, piney, grassy, citrusy, you know, your standard IPA notes.
There's a stickiness to it, too, like on your tongue.
Yeah. Oh, it also uses two-row pale and English caramel malts. I forgot to throw that in there. I was so hung up on the hops, man. They use the Chinook, Cascade, and Centennial, which I like to call the three C's. I just pulled that one out of my butt. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I suggest you put it back in.
Oh, you don't like that? Three C's? I think this is a great combination of hops. It's floral, it's citrusy, and it's piney.
Yeah, I think most of the notes that I'm getting are the bitterness, the bitter sort of grapefruit flavor, a little bit of caramel sweetness.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely drinkable.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got that really good hops in there, but it's not overpowering. It's not
I've
like,
already
whoa,
bought.
This is so hoppy.
When I first,
I've already bought
well,
several,
when I first had
several
this,
six packs of this over the course of the season.
When I first had this beer, I'll have to say that I used to think it was a little too bitter, and it took some time to I don't know. It was kind of acquired, like that hops, the amount of hops and that bitterness, I think, was kind of an acquired taste almost. And I, mm-hmm. it definitely tastes a lot more balanced. I mean, obviously, I'm speaking from previous experiences with it, not right now.
Right.
Because I'm not getting much balance between, aroma.
It has a really good head retention, too.
Yeah. I've got a nice big glob of,
yep.
Of like maybe a quarter finger of head floating on the side of the glass. Really good lacing.
Yeah, it's good.
Same here.
Fluffy. Like, kind of unexpectedly fluffy, really.
It's extremely well-balanced and drinkable beer. I kind of wish this was available more often, but I also love the fact that it's, limited. And you got your one chance a year to get it. It's good stuff. One of my all-time favorites. Sweet. If not my all-time
favorite. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I think I've said it before on the show.
Yes, yeah, you probably have.
Once or twice.
Would you guys?
So pair this, so that's.
Would you pair this with?
Oh yeah, food pairing. Snap.
Quickly. I'd pair mine with a decongestant of some sort. Decongestant. Can't even say it. That's how stuffed up I am. Decongestant.
Yeah, if I was gonna pair this with something, I'd probably have to go. With something kind of spicy, I think.
Spicy.
Yeah. Something kind of spicy. Actually, like a pad thai with like the lime and the spice, and I think would go really well with this.
Cool.
Yeah, I would go with
Thai food. I love Thai food.
I would do some Thai food, yeah. Maybe not super spicy. You know, the restaurants that give you like the level 1 through 10. Of spiciness, I'd probably stick right around like a 4 or 5 level spiciness.
Agreed. I think a green curry Thai food dish would go well with this as well.
Awesome.
Sweet. So yeah. Sierra Nevada's from Russia. Near the Red Square. No, Sierra Nevada's Celebration Ale.
Oh, there went the remaining Russian listeners we had.
Damn it.
Nazdrovya.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hop Topics. Hey, Chris, what do we got going on in the middle of the country?
Well, I couldn't tell you because my hop topic for this week is not from the middle of the country. It's not from this country. It's not even from this planet.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So my hop topic for this week is space beer has cleared the tower.
Wow.
Pulled the article off of Gizmodo, but you can find it in several different places.
It's out of this world.
At last... The long-awaited space barley, which is beer that is made with barley that was grown in space, is here to take you where everyone has been before. Drunk.
Space so barley, the movie.
The idea behind this story is Sapporo has created a beer. They did 250 cases of the beer, so a very limited run, and it is beer that is brewed with barley that was actually grown on the International Space Station.
They must have had a lot of space up there. No pun intended.
Are you sure that there was actually no pun intended? Because I ain't buying it. I think you intended it.
We got some extra room up here, guys. What do you want to do? Hey, let's grow some space barley. It just seems kind of an odd conversation to have in space. Hey, we got some extra space. What are we going to do?
So the experiment was, they were trying to see what sort of crops or whatever could be grown in space for research purposes, sustainability, once we completely screw up this planet. We're going to need to go somewhere, so...
And we're going to need beer when we get there.
Hell yeah.
This is Sapporo's way of...
Amen, brother. Amen.
Just ask the pilgrims.
This is Sapporo's way of saying,
Nice.
Good so that's job, my Sapporo.
That's my hot topic for the week.
Cool.
What about back east?
Let's see. Back east.
Down
here on Earth. On the East Coast, we have from the Boston Herald, thebostonherald.com. I don't know if any of you have heard of Vermont's Long Trail Brewery. They are going to buy Otter Creek Brewery. It's a pretty short article, but I just wanted to mention that because it's kind of news of note that another brewery is going to buy or acquire another brewery. So it seems like some of these little breweries are kind of eating each other up in a sense. They're growing, seems quite rapidly. These groups, sometimes three breweries at a time, seem to either merge or one buys the other out. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Not a big fan of that.
I'm just worried about what's going to happen if they kind of keep their same business practices, if they're still kind of married to the quality of the product and that type of thing. So,
yeah,
like I said,
yeah, just
a little worried, but we'll just have to kind of wait it out and see what happens.
The larger number and the smaller, volume tends to create a better product, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's something to be said about the small breweries who really focus on trying to buy the best quality ingredients they can and having like a real handcrafted brew. I think there's a big difference. There's nothing like going to a small brewery and getting something that they just made, or it's an experiment of theirs even that they haven't even bottled yet, or trying something on a cask.
It's the reason this show exists. I mean, it's the reason that we're able to say, that the concept of the show is that we are a drink local show. I mean, our whole point is that breweries and beer now is very localized. And I like that fact. I like the fact that you can go to one part of the country and only get a certain kind of beer. Granted, I'd like to be able to get everything Stone makes here.
Yeah.
But, I also appreciate the fact that, I can get real ale or I can get St. Arnold's and, some other people might not be able to get that.
Makes it more special,
Yep.
And it's just like, See's Candy is only available on the West Coast, if not just California, So people from back east.
That's not true.
It's not? I thought it was only See's Candies?
No, there's See's Candy all over the place. They just opened up a big thing in the mall.
Oh.
You're high.
I'll cut that part out.
Yeah. They were part of the big candy buyout of 05. Toby missed it.
Well, maybe it's a new thing because they used to only be, what's it called? What's the donut place?
Dunkin' Donuts?
Not Dunkin'. No, the other one. Krispy Kreme was only available back east, but then all of a sudden it moved out west and it was like this huge deal. Yeah, so it makes it less special, It's like when you go to a certain part of the country, you can only get certain, I don't know, whatever.
I do.
No, I get you guys, I'm going home.
I'll give you a perfect example of something you can only get in California. In-N-Out. I can't tell you how much people talk about In-N-Out here.
But you get it in Nevada.
Okay, well,
they have them here in Vegas,
but it's still very very west.
Can't get it here.
It's.
What about Rubio's?
No Rubio's either, which is very disappointing because I love Rubio's.
Hey, Toby, Rubio's in Nevada. What?
What about your hot topic?
Okay, so mine. This one is one of the reasons why I'm doing it is because it came from my very first beer review on the show from episode one, which has been locked away in the catacombs of the Beer Coasters podcast.
So anybody that actually has copies of that, they are collector's items.
Right.
Treasure those ones and zeros because you probably won't be able to get them again.
Right.
I heard that the key from
not
the
being
vault
able to find certain things
eaten by a lemur or something. Never to be found.
So the Cinder Cone Red spring seasonal from Deschutes Brewing Company is no longer going to be brewed anymore. It's being replaced by one of their pale ales. It's actually been already bottled before, but they're no longer going to do the Cinder Cone Red. Well, it'll only be available in Oregon, and Washington are the only two places you'll be able to find it in 2010. So everywhere else, no more Cinder Cone Red. It's been replaced by the Red Chair Northwest Pale Ale, which is now their spring seasonal, which also takes place of their...
You rated that beer pretty high, didn't you?
I think so. I remember liking
it. You made me want to try it, I think, from the review. No, I haven't tried it yet. I'm a fan of Reds.
Oh, the Buzzsaw Brown. Speaking it also of Reds, replaces...
Someone should have read their story.
It replaces the Buzzsaw Brown. I lost it. Anyway, the Red Chair is named after like the oldest chair lift. Oh, Mount Bachelor. It's the oldest operating chair lift at Mount Bachelor. Okay. Look for the Red Chair NWPA this spring. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
How about if we just move on and I get to drink some beer?
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the tasting flight. Fasten your seatbelts. No smoking allowed.
Alrighty.
Wow, episode 30 and we're changing it all up.
I don't like this.
Oh, would you rather it be?
There it is. Great Divide. Hibernation Ale. That is what I'm drinking this week. Great Divide Brewing out of Denver, Colorado. Website is www.greatdivide.com. The style is an old ale, which we'll actually be doing here shortly, I believe.
Yeah, I better not use up your old ale, buddy.
Yeah. ABV.
It's some kind of a weird metaphor.
The ABV on this one here is an 8.7. Previous years, it's been 8.1. So I think they changed up the recipe a little bit from last year. So now this year, it's an 8.7. Don't have any information on the IBUs or ingredients. Oh, interesting note.
Way to go.
This has won a couple medals. It won a gold medal in 97 at the Great American Beer Festival, a silver medal in 2006 at the Great American Beer Festival, and a silver medal in 2003 at the Great American Beer Festival.
Golf clap.
Rate beer rating of 96. Beer Advocate users give it an A-, and the Alstrom Brothers... also given an A-.
Oh, tricky,
there
tricky.
You go.
Look at them. Be an A, but it wasn't.
And not this time. They've actually tried this one.
Pretty sneaky, Chris.
And I'm about to try this one.
You got one over on the Alstrom Brothers. Good job.
Oh, got them.
Yeah, like they're sitting, they're listening.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, we tried that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Those beer coasters. Oh, man.
So, nice caramel color, kind of red highlights. Not much head. I got about a half a finger. It's a decent head, though. It's a kind of fluffy. But a nice caramel red color. On the nose, I'm getting lots of bready, caramel sweetness.
Already sounds good.
We trade. Smell good. You couldn't smell it even if we did trade.
I said it sounds good.
Get some dark fruit notes, maybe some dark cherry or raisins.
I sense the dark fruits in this one.
Yes. Like I said, a little bit of breadiness.
Maybe even a little chocolate note.
Chocolate.
Take a sip.
Didn't you go to Great Divide, Chris?
Driving through Denver, we stopped there. That was actually the only place that we actually got to stop.
It's cool little place. Like, tweeted your food and stuff. Like, you had like twit pics of your food and stuff. Was that the same place?
No.
No.
No, we didn't eat there. They just have a tasting room.
Oh.
So, tasting it, lots of that sweetness. We get some of that chocolate, sort of the bitter chocolate, some of the bread notes. Get kind of a dark.
It put him to sleep. The hibernation ale put Chris to sleep. It did its job, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm tasting. It's hard to talk with beer in your mouth.
It's hard to review with mucus in your nose.
Obviously. Yeah, like I said, some bitter chocolate notes, a little bit of caramel, some molasses-y brown sugar. It's a very tasty, caramely, dark fruit notes, molasses-y kind of flavors coming out. It's really tasty. Kind of a syrupy mouthfeel. It's not real dry, more of a sticky sweetness.
You just add ease on the end of everything. It's molasses-y, it's sticky.
That's right. Yeah. Molasses-y, sticky. Roasty. Actually, it is a little roasty.
What's the ABV on it again?
Bready.
8.7. Wow. And there's a little bit of the alcohol flavor, but not too much alcohol warming going on. But the alcohol flavor is there. If I was going to pair this with something, I would actually go with a nice holiday prime rib.
Ah.
With some really good au jus would be awesome.
Holiday this. Prime rib.
We do that prime rib for Christmas.
Prime rib special.
It is tasty. So yeah, that's my Nothing review like of the Great
good
Divide.
Rare beef.
Of the Great Divide Hibernation Ale.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, bitch, start howling.
Oh, okay. On that note, I'm going to be doing Magic Cat Brewery's Howl. It's from Magic Cat Brewery out of South Burlington, Vermont.
It's from Magic Cat Brewery.
Come on, man. I'm trying to get through this. It's impossible with this nose. If you just pause and get a new nose, and we'll be right back.
Oh, we're pausing? Just kidding.
Well, thanks, we're back. I haven't been able to find a new nose, but... okay, so this beer... I mentioned it's from Magic Hat Brewery out of South Burlington, Vermont. Their website is magichat.net. And this brew...
you sound this is their... funny.
I know. I'm sorry. I hate the way I sound right now this week. I apologize. Did I apologize in the intro? I think I did. This is their winter lager, or their winter seasonal. This has replaced Jinx, which is being retired, I guess, from what I hear, which was a seasonal for them previously.
Maybe it was a cease and desist. Or maybe it was a trademark infringement.
Could have been. It seems to be the very trendy thing to do. This the ABV on this beer is 4.6. A little light compared to most that we do. The IBUs on this are 32. The ingredients are, for yeast, they use lager yeast, of course. This is, did I mention this was a black lager?
No.
You did not? No?
Wow.
Okay, this is a black lager, or aka Schwarzbier.
Schwarzbier!
For malts, they use pale malts, Crystal 80, and Carafa, or I'm not Carafe. Sure how to pronounce it, but I think that that's what the chocolate malt is in this beer. Or it's a type of chocolate malt, I believe. For hops, they use Hallertau and Columbus. Rate Beer rates this a 67 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Allstrom brothers have not weighed in on this beer.
All right. It's about time.
Living up to expectations.
That's right.
Lowered expectations.
All right. Here we go. Blackest Night Winter Lager.
Yeah. They hate us.
Yeah. Who are we kidding? They have no idea who we are.
Yeah. I scare them. Oh, it pours pretty dark. It's, I would say, just a tad lighter than your average porter.
Hmm.
Very tight bubbles, very small bubbles in the head. It's a little bit of a creaminess. Very similar. Actually, the consistency of the head's very similar to the Sierra Nevada.
Apparently, he can't smell, so he has to actually touch it now.
Yeah, I gotta use all the senses available to me.
He's over here sticking his fingers in the beer. Hope your fingers are clean.
Of course. Believe it or not, I'm trying
to use all of his
get
senses this week.
Even. With my nose completely clogged up, I can smell kind of a almost like a roasted coffee. It's like barely coming through, but I'm getting it. Like a roasted coffee maltiness. I'm sorry about this review. I really am.
It feels really creamy not getting to the touch.
So, yes.
Are you squeezing a dog chew toy or?
I'm listening to the head retention right now. So yeah, as far as the sense, I apologize. I'm not getting much. A little bit of smokiness. I can honestly still detect a little bit of that, even though I can't really smell. I'm gonna take a sip.
But you will have your final reviews and your pint ratings on a future episode
next week. Yes, I'm gonna kind of re-review this. And have all the proper notes and stuff when I can actually breathe out of my nose.
Be so able stay to smell. Tuned.
Yeah, so stay tuned. So I'm getting very mild bitterness. I'm getting kind of a chalkiness on the tongue. And maybe it's kind of a malt type flavor. Really hard to tell. It's kind of got a medium body. It's crisp, really, which it's kind of strange because it's a dark, rich flavor, but it's got kind of a, maybe because it's still kind of cold.
Well, and it's a lager, so you should get some crispness with it.
I'm not getting any of those the metallic type. Flavors on the tongue.
Those metallic lagers.
Yes, those metallic lagers. Not getting any of that at all. And it's but we've mentioned before that even if we don't like the beers that use lagered yeast that has that metallicness or metallic-y, as we like to say, the black lagers we seem to enjoy, and it might be something about that roastedness or that maltiness or the smokiness that may mask that or kind of balance that out. I'm not sure.
I think it's a great transition beer from if you're a primarily a lager drinker and you want to try something different to go to a Schwarz beer because you do get a little bit more interesting flavors, but you still keep kind of light and crisp.
Yeah. It's kind of strange because it's rich, but it's got a good drinkability to it. Like it has a kind of that crispness to it that really makes it a really drinkable beer. I like it. It's tough for me to pair anything with it because I'd really like to get a little bit of the subtleties of the aroma. But for lunch today, I had chicken soup in a bread bowl, and I think that like maybe a beef stew in a bread bowl would be a good pairing with this. Even if it was like maybe even like a honey wheat bread bowl or something, something maybe a little bit darker of a bread, like a wheat bread bowl with beef stew would be a good pairing.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to keep sipping on this.
Toby, you ready for some?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we? Being the host of the show, it is...
Customary from the west coast.
Sorry.
To be the last one to taste his own beer from his region. So today, I am trying Lost Coast Brewing Company's Winter Braun. Lost Coast.
Winter Braun.
I have visited Lost Coast on the podcast a couple times before. I do like their stuff. This is the first time I've had their Winter Braun, Winter Seasonal. That's Lost Coast Brewing Company out of Eureka, California. They've been brewing since 1990. Their website is www.lostcoast.com. The style is an English brown ale, one of my favorite styles, actually.
And for you with young listeners out there, 1990 is not old school.
It has an ABV of 6.50%.
Hey, don't go stealing.
An interesting note about this Winter Braun, it has received a couple medals. It received the silver, actually one, it received one medal, the silver at the 1998 World Beer Championship, which I believe is held in Chicago. Anyway.
Sure.
The ingredients are, they use roasted chocolate and caramel malts. They use the Saaz hops for a nice, spicy, earthy character. And Rate Beer has given this a 79 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B+. The Alstrom Brothers have not tried this one.
How about that?
Cracking this hop.
Did he just say cracking this hoe?
I believe that he did.
It's a crack hop. So upon pour.
We see the label on this one.
It's cool, man. It's the typical labels, right? Yeah, it's that cool kind of Picasso-esque artwork by the artist, which I should have had it prepared, but I had issues finding this guy before.
But on this podcast, we say Picasso-E.
Oh, yeah, Picasso-E. Yes,
Picasso-E. Everything is E, not esque. Esque is way above us.
That's Craft Beer Radio, guys. That's right.
We're E. They're esque.
So I've got a nice cloudy, kind of a reddish amber color with about a finger of off-white head. It's dissipating. It's pretty thin now. Some big bubbles sparsely clustered throughout the top of the beer. So on the nose, I got some sweet.
I could hear that. It was a big whiff.
Yeah. Unlike some people, it's like.
I've been hearing you breathing all night.
I'm going to be back full force next week. You're going to hear me.
So. It's nice on the sweetness. Nose. There's some sweetness on the nose. A little bit of kind of hops in there. Maybe a little bit of spicy hop aroma. But mostly like
Darth Vader over there.
Well, it might be the glass that I'm using. It's got just a good malty, kind of caramel malty E to it.
Malty.
Taking a sip.
Kind of caramel malty-esque.
Toby took a sip and it was only 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hmm.
Not like the review's only supposed to last 5 minutes or anything.
This is good. It's got a slightly sticky mouthfeel. Not very carbonated. There's actually almost no carbonation. It does have some nice lacing going on. There's a good kind of a roasted caramel flavor.
I'm being invaded by balloons. They're slowly creeping into this room.
So
there's this kind of caramelized sugar, a little bit of caramelized sugar. I'm not picking up on any hops in the flavor. This is pretty drinkable. I do get a kind of an astringentness on the tip of the tongue. Kind of leftover, a little dryness on the tip of the tongue. Pretty drinkable, though.
Yeah.
As far as, I don't know if I would even consider this a winter warmer. It's a brown ale. It's a little lighter than their, the Downtown Brown. It's not as thick and robust as the Downtown Brown. It's a little lighter and a little sweeter. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, winter styles that, brown ales don't come to mind, you know, off the top of my head. It'd be kind of interesting.
IPAs, like spicy brown. I mean, that's what I wouldn't consider an IPA. You know, the first thought that popped in my head when you're talking about a winter warmer.
Right.
But our celebration, I mean, the Sierra Nevada celebration is a
Yule Smith, one of the best beers on the planet.
Exactly.
Yeah. For pairing this, the first thing that popped in my head was a roast beef sandwich.
Really?
But I think I want to try for something a little more elegant than that. I mean, this would go great. This is a good lunchtime beer. I mean, it's drinkable.
And since he started using esque on everything, he's got to feel he's got to get all elegant.
Yeah. Well, elegant. You know,
he's got to get elegant-y.
I would like to. I would like to.
Got to get all elegant esque.
But I think a roast beef sandwich.
So he's not actually going to get elegant.
No, I'm not.
That's fine. That works.
This is pretty tasty.
Wait.
So Lost Coast Brewing Company out of Eureka, California. Their Winter Brawn.
Surprisingly not elegant.
Noah Piaggio says, I just walk past my dad, beer in one hand, blowtorch in the other. My dad is awesome!
It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the week, yeah!
Backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline. Yeah.
Hey there, Beer Coasters. This is Tom in Dallas. Wanted to save Chris the torture of reading another one of my long emails, so I decided to check out this audio backwash feature of yours. You all know I've been spending some time at the Flying Saucer Draft Emporium, both the one Addison, which is right on my way home from work, and the one on the lake. That's over at Lake Ray Hubbard off I-30, the backside of the lake for those of you in the area. And they both had some phenomenal new brews on the rotators over the last few weeks. And I wanted especially to share some interesting things I've tried from St. Arnold's. First, their Divine Reserve number 8 on cask. It was intense, nutty, roasty, toasty, slightly sweet, and quite alcoholicious. It pretty much lived up to its name. Drinking it was almost a religious experience. And I've also had a few opportunities to enjoy St. Arnold's Christmas 2009, probably one of the best winter warmers I've ever had. And Chris and anyone else in the area, you got to get yourself down to the Ginger Man sometime in the next few weeks. They're going to be doing an on-tap vertical of all the St. Arnold Christmas brews since 2005, including the 2009 on cask. And if that ain't festive, I don't know what is. Well, that's all I got for now. Again, this is Tom in Dallas, and happy drinking.
All right, everybody, last call.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Episode number 30, winding down. We're now out of our 20s. We're into our 30s. We think we're hot shit.
What's this think stuff?
Got a head on our shoulders. Oh.
Head and shoulders.
I've been 30 for a long time.
Pint ratings. Chris, hit me with some pint ratings.
Hit me with your pint ratings.
So for this week, for the Sierra Nevada celebration, I am going to give it a stellar pint rating of 5 pints out of 5.
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Stellar.
And I'm guessing by anybody that's listened to the show before, it's probably not a huge surprise. I think we're all kind of big fans of the celebration.
Yeah.
It's a great seasonal beer. It's a great session beer. I mean, I've... You know, just this season, bought several six packs of it already. It's my go-to sort of, you know, I need to go to the fridge and grab a beer. So, 5 pints for the Sierra Nevada celebration. For my Great Divide Hibernation Ale, I am going to give it 4.5 pints. This is very, very good. It's not perfect, but it's awesome. I mean, it's a very much a, you know, when you
kind of like the beer coasters.
Not perfect, but awesome.
Let's put that on the next business card. I was trying to think of that the other day. Like, what are we going to put? We need some sort of catchy slogan that we could go on the business card, you know, like drink local or something. But I think not perfect, but awesome is the perfect slogan.
Yeah.
So, but the Hibernation
definitely,
Ale.
Definitely, as we say here on Beer Coaster.
It's very much a, you know, when we talk about the style this week as being a winter warmer, this is what comes to mind. It's the, you know, slightly higher alcohol content, the rich, dark fruit flavors, the molassesy sort of.
There you go. I was waiting for the E's to come.
Yeah. very much a curl up by the fire type beer, and this is a very good example of that. So 4.5 pints.
Coolness.
Well, for mine, as we
way to keep it moving, Toby.
Ratings,
I just figured he knew that it was his turn.
It's your job to move it along.
I do know that that's my turn. We talked earlier about
your nose.
We talked earlier about me doing the reviews next week, because Sierra Nevada I've had several times before. I probably could do a review on it, even though I couldn't really smell it this time around. I do think that it's one of Sierra Nevada's best beers that they make. It's probably one of my favorites from them. But I will give kind of a more detailed review. The Magic Hat Howl, I will give a detailed review next week as well, because I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't tried that before. Really the subtleties of the aromas and stuff, because even with my nose as stuffed up as it is, I can still get some coffee and some smokiness in there. So I'm really looking forward to trying this when I can actually smell and taste it. So next week during the intro, I will give you the rundown on that.
Well, as far as the Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale goes, it is my all-time favorite beer. I love this beer. I had it in my kegerator last winter. It's just, it's the perfect, if you do have a kegerator and you want a winter beer, you can't go wrong with the Celebration. I mean, it's easy drinking, yet it's got the great hoppiness and the great maltiness. It's superbly well balanced. I'm going with a 5 out of 5. If I could give it more than a 5, I would. It is, like I said, my all-time favorite beer so far. So, I love it. Yeah, it's perfect. To me, it's perfect.
I wanted to add just a little bit to that, just because you mentioned that you can't go wrong with it. I will say that if you're not a big craft beer lover, that this may not be, or if you're new to craft beer, this may not be the first one for you, because it is kind of a big, bold, hoppy beer, and I think, like I mentioned before, the bitterness was a little overwhelming at first, and I think it over time kind of seemed to balance out for me. So I think this beer needs a little bit of understanding.
Well, if you compare it to the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, it's actually less to me. It seems a little more rounded and more well balanced. The Pale Ale is great, but you always have those people that try the Pale Ale and they go, "Oh, well, it's way too bitter." With this one, to me, I think that they could see that it would be a little sweeter, still bitter, but a little sweeter as well. Anyway. Moving on to the Lost Coast Winter Braun, I give it a 3.5. I think it's great. Now, as far as it being a winter seasonal, I have a feeling that this might just be one of those things where a brewing company has a cool beer that they brew, and then they go, you know what, let's just brew it in the wintertime and make it our winter seasonal. To me, this doesn't really feel like a winter seasonal. It's just kind of a nice brown ale that's great. And it's
a West Coast season,
I guess. Yeah. You know, I mean, Northern California can
it's a West Coast winter beer.
And if you've been to Eureka, I mean, I'm sure they don't get any snow. They're pretty close to the coast. Anyway, it's a great beer. I give it a 3.5. But as far as it being a winter seasonal, I'm a little confused. But it's nice. Moving on, does anybody want any to give out any individual shout outs real quick? I'll say lostcoast.com and of course sierranevada.com.
I'll throw out greatdivide.com and then also the pub that I was talking about earlier, the Ginger Man. If you go to gingermanpub.com, you can find their locations, and it's interesting, this new location that they've opened is a little bit different than the older locations. The new location is in a newer area in Dallas, or Plano, actually. But the older locations, they basically took existing structures, mostly houses, and converted them to beer bars. So, Toby, I mean, we were obviously big into the living room.
Oh, yeah.
Coffee shops in San Diego. So think So think the living room as a beer bar.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Next time I'm out there in Texas, dude, we're going to Ginger Man.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. A living room as a beer bar. Yeah. See how cool would that be?
And that's the living room duck. No, I'm just kidding.
Big coffee shop in San Diego. Very cool. That.
Yeah. For me, I would just give out Magic Hat's website. They make some pretty interesting brews. They're a little left of center, if you will. It's magichat.net. Check them out, and they get some cool, interesting stuff. Their website's kind of cool, fun, you know, a little animation and sound and whatnot. A good, solid craft beer.
And then,
brewery.
And then, Mike, also you wanted to throw out www.vix.com, right?
Yeah. Or
Mucinex.com.
Mucinex.
Yeah. Or any company who has a mentholiptus in it wants to sponsor the podcast.
But you can check out, it's actually livingroomcafe.com. If you're in San Diego and you're looking for a good cup of coffee, livingroomcafe.com.
Or www.tastingwithyourfinger.com.
Hey, come on. Hey, I should get that domain.
Smellingwithyourear.com.
All right. Oh, just wait till the next time you guys are all stepped up.
Guess what?
Hey, Toby, can you follow us on Twitter?
I was just going to say, that's funny that you mentioned that. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod. So look us up on Twitter, start following us, and you can also follow us on Facebook, or you can become friends with us on Facebook, or you can become fans of the Beer Coasters Podcast on Facebook. So if you're a Facebooker, look up Beer Coasters Podcast. We're there. Check it out. And we have individual Twitter accounts. I am Beer Coaster Toby.
I would be B Coaster Chris.
And I am Beer Coaster Mike.
We also have individual email accounts you can contact us at. I am Toby at beercoasterspodcast.com.
I would be Chris at beercoasterspodcast.com.
Tastingwithyourfinger.com.
And I am Mike at beercoasterspodcast.com.
I'm thinking tastingwithyourfinger.com would be some other sort of website.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
It might have nothing to do with beer.
If you wanted to email us Backwash, you could go to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, or you could leave audio backwashed one of two ways. You can either go to the website and click on the little call me link backwash at the bottom, or you can dial 972-914-8502 and leave us some audio backwash there.
You can also post did today.
That is
called
correct.
Our audio backwash and left us.
Because he didn't like the way that I read his email.
Read his comments, yeah. I guess.
You're a horrible narrator.
I am. And if you have any other comments that about how much I suck at narration, you can also post them directly on the website. Each episode down at the bottom, you can click the little comment section.
Dear B Coaster Chris,
you suck at narration.
If anybody wondering what that website address was that you can submit backwash or post your comments on, it is beercoasterspodcast.com.
Submit.
You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. You can search for Beer Coasters and you will find us there. You can check the website on Monday for next time on Beer Coasters and see what we're drinking for the upcoming weeks. And you can buy it ahead of time and drink with us and see if you taste any of the stuff that we do. You'd be very, very lucky if you listen to this week's show, because I can't taste anything. So you'd beat me out in this week's episode for sure. So if you want to submit your tasting notes on the beers that I drank
this
week,
go.
Please do.
Yes. If you've tasted Mike's beer and you have a better review, please let us know.
Yes, please submit it for Backwash.
And don't forget to tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Make sure that they tell their friends. And, of course, always thank you for listening to the podcast. We have a great time. Hope you did, too.
Support your local brewery. Drink local, unless you're trying to get beer from space. Don't drink and drive.
Well, if you're an astronaut, you could, and you're at the space station, you'd be drinking local.
Yes. This is true. So all of you astronauts listening on the International Space Station, have a pint on us, drink local, drink Sapporo.
Nice.
Sapporo is local in space. That's awesome. Oh, and man. For any comments or suggestions, if you have a favorite beer bar or a favorite beer, let us know. That's beercoasterspodcast.com. Leave us some audio backwash or go to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And remember, listenwithyourfinger.com. Cheers.
Cheers. Nazdrovia. Next week, right?
beer on beer coasters.
Magic Hat Brewery out of South Burlington, Vermont.
Surprisingly not elegant.